is that as my mind and my heart have been shifting towards Thanksgiving, I've been thinking a lot about what does Thanksgiving look like in our lives, and what does it look like to even just do a Thanksgiving inventory? And so I turned to the Skit Guys for a little bit of help on what that might look like. And so here's the Skit Guys with the Thanksgiving inventory.
Have you ever stopped to take an inventory of your blessings? You know, the things you should be thankful for?
Oh, yeah, like Eskimo pies. I'm so thankful for them. I mean, they're ice cream and cookie put together. Thank you, Eskimo pie people.
That's not what I'm really getting at.
Oh, you mean serious stuff, like zippers. I mean, where would we be without them? They let us in and out of our clothes, up and down. Thank you.
What I want the people to do out there is just to kind of take a pause in their busy schedules and add up all the blessings, no matter what circumstance they're going through.
Oh, circumstances.
Yeah,
like the other day, my zipper was stuck. I couldn't get out. I'm freaking out, right? You know? And then I thought, what if I was a spaceman? What do spacemen do when their zipper gets stuck? And then I was thankful I wasn't a spaceman.
The lights are flashing, the gate is down, but the train ain't coming, huh?
Yes! No, I don't know. I didn't have trains when I was a kid. I was more of a monkey bar guy. And I love monkey bars. I'm thankful for them. Thank you, monkey bar people!
Maybe it's been a while since you looked at your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your family, your loved ones, and really acknowledged the joy that they bring to your life.
And I'm thankful for teddy bears, and I'm thankful for my bald friend who really cares, and I'm thankful for the sun and the stars, the moon and the sky. And sometimes I'm so thankful that God made a guy like I. 'Cause I'm a Jim, you know.
That's it, that's it. I think you're getting the hang of this. That's good.
What do you mean?
The song you did, that was great.
Oh, I was just goofing.
Huh?
Yeah, what I'm really thankful for? Mount Rushmore.
Hey, George.
Abe.
Teddy, how'd you get up there?
Take the inventory, and I think you will realize how much God has given you, and that'll make you so thankful.
You're right. I am a blessed man. I have so many golden nuggets. I am blessed.
There you go.
I'm going to go right now.
He's going to go take the inventory.
What? No. Chicken nuggets. I love chicken nuggets. I'm thankful for them. Thank you, chicken nugget people.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, you just can't do it like the Skit Guys can. So, you know, what's interesting is just thinking about Thanksgiving and thinking, hey, what does that look like to have a heart of Thanksgiving? And, you know, sometimes is it can be something like this. If I had been prepared, I actually would have given everyone a 3x5 card, and we would have taken some time right here in the service. I would have had pens ready and said, hey, take 60 seconds. Take 60 seconds just to write down some different things that you're thankful for. You know, in your family situations. Things that you're thankful for when it comes to the things that you have, things that you're thankful to God for, is just take some time, because sometimes it's just important just to stop and to remember that in the midst of all of life and in the craziness of everything that's going on, to remember the things that we can actually be thankful for. I hadn't noticed how quickly Thanksgiving was coming up until I shifted off of last week's sermon series and shifted into, hey, what am I going to talk about next week? I just hadn't thought about it. And then, of course, Thanksgiving is coming up, and so Thanksgiving is on my mind. But I'll be honest with you. Thanksgiving hasn't been my favorite topic this year. This year, for whatever reason, I've just struggled a lot more this year with discouragement and even depression. And so, like a few weeks ago, you may not have known this, but my friend Mike came and preached, and that was because I just needed to take a Sunday off. I was kind of crashing and burning. I was having a reaction to some medication, and I have been having some thyroid issues, and I couldn't function. So Mike came and preached for me, and I was very glad that he did. But that was really hard on me to kind of shut down for a weekend. And this year's just been a lot tougher in some ways. And I don't know if it's, you know, some may be the thyroid. Some of it may be is that I'm getting older. And maybe it's just that life is passing by more quickly than I want it to. Or maybe it's something else. I don't know. But the heart of Thanksgiving has been harder for me this year. And that's kind of crazy to even say, is I feel a little bit crazy right now because I really don't have anything to complain about. I mean, I really don't. Life is pretty good. I have a wonderful family. I love working here. I love working with the staff, and I love our church family. I mean, life is pretty good. I have a beautiful home. I have so much to be thankful for. And so I don't have that much to complain about. And I try to remember that my bad days are like someone else's good days. That my bad days are like someone else's good days is I think that things are bad, but then I look around and I see what other people are going through. And by comparison, my life is a dream. I mean, it really is. So as I've been thinking about this and thinking, you know, how do I wrestle through where I'm at? And I know that others have gone through struggles also. And so I'm trying to figure out, hey, what does this look like? What does it look like to be thankful in the midst of everyday circumstances in life? One of the people that's always been an inspiration to me is Johnny Erickson Tada. And some of you know about her ministry. She has this incredible ministry called Johnny and Friends. But when Johnny was 17 years old, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay and she misjudged the shallowness of the water. And so when she dove in, she damaged her spine. The resulting spinal fracture paralyzed her from the shoulders down. And so she has no ability to move from her shoulders down. What a lot of people don't know is how active she was prior to that accident. And she was incredibly active. A lot of people don't realize is that her dad was actually an Olympic wrestler. That he was an athlete, and she grew up in this athletic family, and she grew up riding horses and running and playing tennis and doing all kinds of other things and swimming. And then in a moment, everything in life changed, and she's paralyzed from the shoulders down. And going from active to incapacitated led to depression and anger and suicidal thoughts and spiritual doubt. And it took 2 years of rehab to even figure out is in the midst of everything that she couldn't do, which was almost everything. She couldn't do barely anything, but she was trying to figure out is hey, what can I do? Because you have this body all of a sudden, a mind that works really well and a body that doesn't. And so those 2 years were vital in that she had to learn what she could do and what she couldn't do. One of the things that she did learn is that she was really good at art. She learned how to paint with a paintbrush in her mouth. And she started to paint and create these works of art, and she actually was really good at it. And her art began to get noticed And then as her notoriety spread, more and more people found out, and Barbara Walters called one day and said, I'd like to interview you. And she was on the Today Show and had such an incredible testimony on the Today Show that a publisher called her up and said, hey, would you write a book about your life? And she said, you bet, you bet. Some of you may have seen, I can't remember if it was ABC, did a documentary on her and her husband. And her husband's just a real neat guy, too. No one knows about Ken. But her husband, and they were interviewing her, and she told that little bit of that story. And she said, I wrote that book called Johnny, and it sold more than 4 million copies. And it started a ministry called Johnny and Friends. And for the last 50 years, she's been writing books and producing a nationally syndicated radio spot and speaking and traveling all over the world and encouraging people, especially those that are disabled and going through things that a lot of us just can't even imagine. One of her main topics has been thankfulness. In her book, A Thankful Heart in a Wounded World, she writes, so many people have helped me to get out of bed, brush my teeth, brush my hair, and everything else that I'm quick to say, thank you. She said, at one time, this wheelchair was a terrible tragedy, but I'm grateful for my quadriplegia. It's a bruising of a blessing. Did you catch that? It's a bruising of a blessing, but still a blessing. It's a gift wrapped in black, but still a blessing. It's a shadowy companion, pulling me and pushing me into the arms of my Savior. You know, a lot of us would have a difficult time being thankful in such circumstances. You know, in that interview, she told the story about her first date with her future-to-be husband and how embarrassing it was when her urine bag filled up and she had to ask her date to empty the urine bag because she can't do it herself. She's totally dependent on others. But because of that, she says thank you a lot. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you for bathing me. Thank you for caring for me. And she's learned thankfulness in the midst of struggle. As I was thinking through this topic in Scripture this last week, I came across two reasons why every single one of us can be thankful. The first one is this, is God's goodness. And the second one is His steadfast love. God's goodness and His steadfast love. Over and over again in the book of Psalms, and one of the places in Psalms 136:1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And so when we look out at the landscape of what's going on and we see the stuff that's going on in the world, and sometimes that stuff is a little closer to us and sometimes it's a little farther away, but sometimes we're experiencing the trauma of life. Sometimes we have loved ones that are dying. Sometimes we have loved ones that are struggling with sickness, or maybe there's relational brokenness in life. And sometimes we're looking at it and life isn't very good, but God is. God is always good. Things will not always be the way that they are right now. God is good, and even when we can't see it, His love is steadfast. His love is steadfast. It endures forever. He loved you before you even knew that you needed to be loved. He loved you in spite of your unlovability. And so give thanks to the Lord. The thing is thankfulness doesn't come naturally. Joni, in the same book, says humans are inclined toward ingratitude. We compare our lot in life with others and either admire them from a distance or burn with envy. We miss a job promotion and collapse in discouragement. We feel overwhelmed by home duties and complain bitterly. You know, and all of us can think about those times where things haven't been going well, and we look at someone else and we see as things are going pretty well for them, and we envy them. We think, if only I could have a life like that. And we begin to compare and contrast, and we feel like that we're getting the kick in the teeth and other people are getting more blessings, and then we start to take it personally. And when hit with discouragement, there's a tendency, sometimes the tendency when there's discouragement is it kind of goes three ways. One of the tendencies is to give up. To give up. And so we take our hope and we it's almost like we put it on a shelf and we say, well, it's not working, there's no hope, and so we just give up and we just let circumstances just beat us up and we look for the next bad thing to happen, the next bad thing to slap us in the face and throw us down. And so there's a tendency with discouragement to give up. The second tendency is to make suffering the focus. Just to yield to the circumstances, just to kind of give up and say, well, it's never going to go good anyway. I'm never really going to be truly blessed. And so just to yield to the circumstances. The third danger is to become bitter. And the danger of becoming bitter is that it poisons our attitude. But the danger is also is that it can poison the attitudes of the people around us. Kim and I often joke around when one of us is down is we just say oh Lord, please don't let both of us be down at the same time. Because if both of us are down at the same time, it's a bad deal in our house. So because the other one can lift up and encourage But the danger of being bitter is that it can if you get bitter, it poisons not just one's own soul, but it can poison the people around us. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." That's Hebrews 12:15. Did you catch that? Is it, "See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." See, bitterness spreads. It spreads. So what does thankfulness look like? What does thankfulness look like? And that's something that I'm interested in exploring a little bit, because did you know that 9 out of 10 people are unthankful? Yeah, there's this study that's been done, and 9 out of 10 people are unthankful. Actually, there really isn't a study, but I'd say that it's biblical. In Luke chapter 17, we find that 9 out of 10 people are unthankful. So here's what it says in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and following. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee." And so the setting here is that Jesus, along with the disciples, they're traveling, and they're traveling in this border region, and it's kind of right on the edge. It's right on the edge of Samaria and Galilee. And in Luke 17, verse 12, it says, "As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.'" And so you can imagine this, because in this day, because leprosy was what it was, is people were scared of lepers. And so literally the rule was that if you had leprosy, that you, when you were traveling, when you were walking, when you were going places, you had to yell, "Unclean, unclean." And that let everyone know that you had leprosy, and so that you were to steer clear from them. And that's essentially what these individuals are doing. But they found out that Jesus was coming through, and they'd obviously heard some things about Jesus. And so they come to Jesus because they want to be healed. And so they're yelling, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And here's what it says in verse 14. It says that when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And then it says, "And as they went, they were cleansed." As they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan." That's going to be important. Verse 17, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." It's an interesting passage. 9 out of 10 people are unthankful. I don't know if that's actually statistically true, but I would assume that it doesn't fall too much from the story. Because you think about it, how many returned to Jesus with thanksgiving? Just one? So why were the other 9 unthankful? Now, were they unthankful? Now, I would assume to some extent or another that they were thankful, but not enough so to say, "Thank you." And I wonder what causes a lack of thankfulness to the extent that they could actually go and they could actually say, "Hey, thank you. Thank you." What causes that level of a lack of unthankfulness, or what causes less thankfulness in our lives? Now, maybe it's not realizing how much that you've been given. Because, you know, sometimes it's just hard to realize how blessed we are. And I think particularly in Western culture, because you think about it is that the way that we live here is not the way that most of the rest of the world lives. Is we have so much compared to the rest of the world. Even the poorest among us is wealthy compared to much of the rest of the world. And so maybe it's not realizing how much that we've been given. Maybe it's taking for granted what I know that I have. It's just kind of taking it for granted. Maybe it's because sometimes there's a chip on our shoulder. It's just kind of like, life hasn't treated me very well, so I have a right to be frustrated or mad or discouraged or bitter. And it's that holding of a grudge. It's okay for me to be mad. I mean, if you knew how I was treated, and we kind of say that to ourselves, or we hear that said, holding a grudge can turn to a lack of thankfulness. One of them is not being where we want to be in life. I think that as we get older, that might be increasingly an issue. As you know, we get to whatever middle age is, you know, let's say the 40s. It's kind of like, you know, this isn't where I imagined I would be or what I would be doing or how far I would be along the road of life. And so not being where I want to be. And most people hit that a little bit, whether it's in their 40s or 50s or 60s, most people hit that a little bit. And so every once in a while, this is why we joke around about the midlife crisis and the guy in the Corvette, is because it's like, they're treating themselves. You know, sometimes a lack of thankfulness is not getting what we ask for. Not getting what we ask for. Sometimes it's because of the feeling that I deserve it. Well, I haven't lived a good life, so I deserve to have bad things happen. And there's that feeling of, I'm just not good enough, so I deserve it. Maybe sometimes it's that feeling is that God hasn't answered my prayers. And we pray and we pray and we pray, and sometimes it's about a specific issue, and sometimes it's about a big breakthrough in life or whatever it is. And there's this feeling is that God hasn't answered my prayers, and so it's hard for me to be grateful. It's hard for me to be thankful. Maybe it's that, hey, no one ever thanked me. What does it look like to take the time to say thank you? I don't know what caused the 9 to go on with life. I assume that they were at least a little bit thankful. But the only thing that we know is that only one returned. And the one that returned was actually the anti-hero of the group. I don't know if you picked it up there, but on two different occasions in that passage, it distinguished that one who came back as being a foreigner, a Samaritan. And when you look into the history of the New Testament, one of the things that you find is that the Samaritans are very distinct from the rest of Israel. They are the unbelievers or the false believers. Is that they were actually partly Jewish, but then they were partly of mixed races, and they kind of abandoned the true teaching, the true teaching about the one true God, and they'd kind of gone their own way, and they'd mixed some different religious beliefs together. And so they were highly looked down on. And so you have these 10 individuals with leprosy, and 9 of them are the so-called believers, and 1 is the false believer. And how he got connected with this group of believers, we don't know. What we do know is that the unbeliever in the group did what the others did not. Now, all of them started out well. Because when Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priests, they all started going. And you know, a lot of times the big work of God, it just starts with simple obedience. Now, they didn't understand. I don't think they understood fully when they were going to the priests. They hadn't yet been healed when they started along the way. And yet they obeyed. And that's one thing that's often true in life, is obedience often precedes blessing. It's just responding often precedes blessing. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And so sometimes it's just hearing the word of God and it's just doing it, not knowing what will happen. And a blessing comes out of it. They obeyed first and they were blessed second. Now all of them were blessed. All of them were healed while they were on their way. What we don't know, though, is why all of them were not equally thankful. Why were they not equally thankful? Why were not all of them equally thankful? There was one who was more thankful than the rest. There was one who was full of thanksgiving. There was one who was overflowing with gratitude. So much so that he had to share it. So much so that he began to go back to Jesus and he's praising God along the way out loud, verbally. He's saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is incredible. This is unbelievable. I'm clean." I mean, literally an hour before he'd been saying, "Unclean, unclean." And now he's saying, "Praise God, look at me. Look, look, I'm clean. Praise God." He had to share his thanksgiving. He runs to find Jesus praising God along the way. You know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. In the King James Version, it's let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When was the last time that you said so? You know, there's something important about that, because if you are redeemed, then you're supposed to say so. I mean, this is what this man was doing is because he had been unclean, now he's clean, and he's saying so. Praise God, I'm clean, I'm healed. And one of the most important things that we can do is actually to count our blessings. You remember that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings. There's something about counting our blessings and even just being able to relate to what the Lord has done in our life, because if you put your faith in Jesus, then you have what's called a testimony. Did you know that a testimony is never supposed to be held? It's only supposed to be given. You've been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are you supposed to say so about? Well, verse 1 of that same passage says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So the redeemed talk about the goodness of the Lord. The redeemed talk about the love of the Lord. Because all of us can talk about our circumstances. All of us can talk about aches or ailments or bad things that are happening. But what does it look like to talk about the Lord? Because he is good. And his love endures forever. Is that when the love of other people around you fails, his love endures forever. When the job isn't going the way that you want it to be, his love endures forever. When sickness begins to overcome, his love endures forever. When family members or friends pass away, his love endures forever. When there's terrible tragedies that are in the news and we look with horror at what went on in places like Texas, and we say no, we say thank goodness, because his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Even when people who are very, very sick do very bad things, he is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Here's some things to think about as you're thinking about what Thanksgiving looks like. I've been thinking about this for a number of weeks and even a couple of months now. Is what does Thanksgiving look like in my life? Here's one of the things that I'm realizing. Thanksgiving doesn't come naturally. Thanksgiving is a learned practice. Thanksgiving is a learned practice. Think about it this way. Every day your muscles are getting weaker, staying the same, or getting stronger. based upon what you do with them. So every day, your muscles are getting weaker, staying the same, or getting stronger based upon what you do with them. If you stop using your muscles, the result is atrophy. Atrophy. When I was in college, one of the students in the youth group that I was leading was skiing up at Red Lodge. And he was coming down one of the ski runs. And he was an excellent skier. I mean, he was close to an expert skier. Just really, really good at it for his age. And he came down a run, and there was a group of people spread out all the way across the run talking. And he had to make a decision on whether or not he was going to take out one of the people or if he was going to go into the trees. And he was a good enough skier that he decided, hey, I'm going to take the trees. And so he went into the trees and he started cutting his way through the trees, but he didn't make one of the turns quick enough. And he slammed his shoulder up against the tree and it ripped the nerves out of his spine on that side of his body. And to this day, his arm just hangs limp at his side. And they went to some of the best doctors in the world to try to figure out what to do. They tried all kinds of things, and they've never been able to get any movement back in that arm again. If you look at his arm today, you'll see that there's a dramatic difference between this arm and this arm. The muscle in this arm has shrunk to almost nothing. It's just skin and bones. Because of atrophy. Because he can't use that arm. You see, atrophy happens the same way, spiritually, so to speak. But atrophy can also happen in the area of thankfulness. Every day, your hope, belief and gratitude, which I'd say is the feel of life, is getting weaker, it's holding steady, or it's getting stronger based upon what you tell yourself and others and God. There's something about practicing thankfulness that makes you a more thankful person. And so Thanksgiving is a learned practice. The other thing that I'm realizing is that Thanksgiving needs to be expressed inwardly and outwardly. There's something important about just saying it out loud. Yes, we need to say it internally. We need to internally be thankful people, but we also need to say it out loud. Because saying it out loud affirms it down deep. It affirms it down deep. And you think about it with the one leper, the one thing that the one leper did that was different than all of the others is he said it out loud. He along the way, he's praising God and he's saying, thank you. And he goes and he throws himself down at the feet of Jesus and he says, thank you. And it's the one thing that he did differently than the others. Saying it out loud, it affirms it down deep. So when thankfulness is hard to remember, when thankfulness is hard to go into, sometimes you have to just speak it. And you can even speak it ahead of time. You can even say, thank you for what's going to happen in the future. Thank you that things aren't always going to be this way. You know, here's the one thing that believers can do is we can always speak the truth of the future. Thank you that I'm not always going to be struggling with sin. Thank you that I'm not always going to be struggling with infirmity, with sickness. Thank you that there's a day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Thank you that there's going to be a time where you're going to wipe away every tear and there's going to be no more crying and there's going to be no more pain. Thank you that there's going to be a day when there is no more sickness. Thank you. Because sometimes when you can't speak the truth about now, you can speak the truth about the future, and you can be thankful for that. And so, being thankful. The other thing is when thankfulness is hard to remember, maybe it's helpful to think about Romans chapter 12. Remember in Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's something about shifting the thoughts of our mind off of our circumstances on to Jesus that's just really, really important. There's something about being able to shift and to be able to say Jesus, you're bigger than all of this stuff. You're bigger than my discouragement. You're bigger than my depression. You are greater than the things that are going on in life. You're greater than the tough job situation that I have or the relational difficulties that I have. Jesus, you are greater and you're better and you are good. Thank you. And there's something about saying it out loud. There's something we need to say it. We need to say it out loud. We need to say it to ourselves. We need to say it to other people. And there's something about saying it that makes a difference. There's something about speaking it to the depth of our soul. Here's the amazing thing about David is King David often was overcome by discouragement and depression. And he would reflect that to the Lord. Sometimes you got to get out the discouraging words first. And so David would say oh Lord, man, I feel like I'm being ripped to pieces. My bones feel like they're being crushed. Where are you, Lord? He'd say to himself hey, self, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? But do you know what he'd always end with? The Lord is my strength and my foundation. And at one point he said with the help of the Lord, I can jump over a wall. I can take on an army. There's something about shifting from the discouragement. And so if you ever need to, if you're in that place, then sure, tell the Lord about the discouragement, but I always end with, thank you, Lord, that you're bigger than all of this stuff. Thanksgiving is not only appropriate, it's healthy and it's beneficial. You know, in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Circumstances change. Feelings come and go. God doesn't change. Every good and perfect gift is from above. How do we know that? How do we know that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights? We know that because of Jesus. We know that because we're told that Jesus left the glory of heaven to embrace the brokenness of earth. We know that because Jesus gave up everything that was good and perfect to live among us in our imperfection. We know that because he divested himself of all of that power to take on the form of a servant. We know that because he lived the life that he lived, serving God and pointing us to God. And then he took the one thing that we needed for him to take, our sin, in order to give us his perfection. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. You see, Jesus gave us everything that we need. His forgiveness and his righteousness. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And while they're coming, I just want to invite you is to kind of move into that place of thanksgiving, even if you've gone through such difficult things, and I know that many of you have, is to move into that place of thanksgiving. And if this year has been good, all the more reason to say thank you, Lord. And to just move into there but also to recognize what real thanksgiving looks like. Because there's something about being able to say so. There's something about being able to give God the credit. There's something about being able to say is, you know what? The reason I can be really thankful is because of God's redemption. And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then it's just as easy as saying is, hey, I know that you love me, that you are good. And I know that I need your mercy and your forgiveness. And so forgive me for all of my sins and be my Savior. And then you can say, thank you for everything that you've done for me. Thank you for your grace. But you can also move into that habit of thankfulness where you can just begin to recognize the little things or the big things that you can say thank you for. And so even as we sing, it's an opportunity to think about the things, the people that you're thankful for, but ultimately to thank God.